If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Chicago, 2011. A cop is murdered. Police and prosecutors swear they have the trigger man. He swears he didn't do it. How far will each side go to prove they're right?
Like it's just one bombshell after another, you know, where you're like, what?
The story of a PlayStation, a brain-eating amoeba, and the relentless pursuit of justice. Off Duty, out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy to see if you could save when you bundle your home and auto policies. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
History shows women keep showing up for everyone, every day. But who's showing up for you? Grow Therapy helps you put your mental health first with therapy that's covered by insurance and built to support you. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, and get started in as little as 2 days. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/ACAST to get started. That's growtherapy.com/ACAST. growtherapy.com/ACAST. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Psych Legal Pop Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
And I'm Tess Brigham. I'm the therapist.
And today we are going to do some housewives talk on a couple different topics. First of all, March 21st.
Yes.
That was yesterday. Is the 20th anniversary of the date that the very first episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County aired.
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
What a time.
What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. I mean, get your sky top out and your flirtily jeans because we are back. And I have to say, when you know you suggested this of like, well, it's the 20th anniversary, let's go back. And at first I was like, oh, okay, that sounds good. And then I didn't know how happy I would be until I started it. Cause at first I was like, oh God, I've seen this scene, you know, do I really want to watch this again? It's production value, but God damn it, it's good.
It holds You're up. Just,
it holds up. And, you know, there are, even though they aren't interacting with each other as much, it still is very compelling, and you can kind of see the seeds of things, right? The dysfunctional marriages, the, oh, you're a little too normal for this. Oh, you guys stage a lot of scenes. You know, you can see a little bit of the, oh, the beginnings of, oh, these are who you are. Okay.
Yeah. No, I thoroughly enjoyed watching this, and it got me all, you know, feeling pumped up about the Housewives again. But then I have remind myself, well, but the show has changed.
Yes.
We'll talk about that too. And then I also want to talk about some of the most well-known favorite Housewives legal troubles.
Ah,
so
okay.
I have kind of a top three and some other honorable mentions. So talk about that as well. And did you have anything else you want to talk about specifically?
Oh, in terms of the psychology? Well, I mean, I have lots of thoughts about this episode and what's happening. Okay. But well, I do think that it is an interesting... I do think it's interesting to watch this and knowing what it turned into. And I was even reading an article on Vulture that Brian Moylan, who, you know, covers all of this stuff. He was talking about how, you know, it wasn't until like Tamara came in season three that things really, you know, it became about fighting and the, and the relationships and some of this stuff. And, you know, in some ways people look back on those first episodes and think this is so boring, but it's like, is it? Like, what if it had just stayed this? Because there was good stuff in
there. There was drama.
There was drama. Yeah. It's just, it was a different kind of, it was a different kind of drama. And I think that's one thing that kind of bugs me is that it's almost this feeling of, you know, we didn't need all this fighting.
No.
You know, but it was interesting to watch the lives of these people that are different than we are. But you also see like, oh, this is their marriage. This is how they parent. And you know, you just see all that stuff. It's so clear. I don't know why we need to fight.
I don't know either. I don't know. But yeah, this is very enjoyable.
Yes.
so it's they, what did they say? It's something, it's a lifestyle. It's not a what? It's a lifestyle. I didn't write the whole sentence down.
What are you talking
about? I'm talking
like
about?
The intro?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's, oh. Something talking about Orange County or Coto de Casa, because originally the working title for this was Behind the Gates. And then, you know how a lot of times these Real Housewives shows, they start out as something else. And then the Real Housewives franchise picks up on it and then it becomes Real Housewives of whatever. But anyway, so this was produced by this guy, Scott Dunlap, and it was called Behind the Gates. And it was about Coto de Casa, this gated community in Orange County. And I think the saying, they said this in the beginning when talking about Coto de Casa, it isn't a place, it's a lifestyle.
Yes. Yes.
Because within the community, you know, there's golf courses and tennis courts and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's a place where people gather and whatever with all these houses. And it's funny how they were talking about the prices of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And Gina Keogh's like, yeah, well, you know, they start at like 1.6 and go up to 2.2. And it's like, it doesn't really sound like that much today.
Yeah. Well, I also, I mean, I will say that we are being Californians because I was chatting with someone who was telling me about prices of houses. And she's like, can you believe that? And I'm like, yeah, I kind of can. You know what I mean? It's just because we're so skewed. And then we hear about Lori. Lori's in apparently this crappy townhouse that's 2,000 square feet, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. I'm like, that's bigger than my house. And that's really sad. But yeah, I mean, I just love how Lori, like poor Lori is the poor one. Yeah. And, but she's in this 2000 because she has to be in a condo or a townhouse.
It's not even a condo. It's like these townhouses all crunched together.
Yeah. Well, it's still bigger than my place. I will tell you that much.
Yeah. Yeah. So it starts out by talking about how 7 million families live in gated communities. And, it's like, oh, wow. Yeah. And so I was telling you before we started that, so this guy, Scott Dunlap, the way that Slade Smiley got on this show was, I guess he is friends with Scott Dunlap and he was at some charity event and Scott was auctioning off the chance to be on this show or be mm-hmm. part of this show. And so Slade wanted to be on TV. And so he, you know,
my God, he's going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Slade didn't get too far after this show, but
no.
Anyway. Okay. So do you want to start with the OG of the OC?
Oh, Vicky? Yeah, sure.
The only one who's still.
Yeah.
She really is the OG.
She is. And we see her old face.
Yes, her original face.
I don't know. I go back and forth on. You know, because she has changed her face a lot. And I think some of the changes are good. I think some mm-hmm. of them, I don't think she needed. But her original face. And you see all of that, that very Vicky frenetic energy that's mm-hmm. so different than Gina. So different than, you know, Kimberly, the other women of just even her daughter saying, we got to go, we got to go. And Vicky's like, okay, I'm talking really fast because I have to tell you this. I'm going to take my computer with me. You know, I mean, just go, 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 go. Like she's taking the computer in the car. She's got to take her laptop to this thing.
Well, so this is sort of the origin of the taglines. They're not quite taglines, but they go by each woman and they say something about themselves. So Vicky's is, speaking of her new face, she says, I don't want to get old. Like that's her tagline.
Okay.
And then they show her with her sky top. And then there's Dawn, her mm-hmm. former husband, and Michael and Brianna in the background. Mm-hmm. So Vicky is at this point, she's still working out of her home.
Yes.
She does not have what's the name of her insurance company?
Kodo Insurance.
Kodo Insurance. She does not have the Kodo Insurance offices yet.
Mm-hmm.
She's working from home and Lori is her assistant.
Yes.
And funny, Lori's tagline, or whatever you want to call it, when they introduce her, they show her on the phone saying, are the police involved?
Oh, God. Oh, Lordy.
Yeah, well, that's kind of foreshadowing of what's to come with poor Lori, who Lori ended up doing quite well on her show because she met her husband, George, who's like a multi-millionaire. Mm-hmm. And so she got her sweet revenge because it seems like her husband just
ditched her.
She got screwed, like no money. I don't know exactly what happened, but mm-hmm. She's supporting these kids all by herself. Anyway, okay, let's go back to Vicky.
But it's pretty fascinating if you watch this knowing all the stories because you see Vicky like frantically working and then Don's outside. He's like, yeah, she's a go-getter gal. You know, he's like
he's washing
the car
his car
and doing his thing. And, you know, the way she just, all of these parents, but especially Vicky, everything was about them. Like mm-hmm. everything with all of these parents, it felt like, I don't think I saw that so much with Kimberly. She's probably the most together one, which is why she left the show after 1 year. But that this sort of like, Brianna is getting her hair and makeup done for prom, but it's not her prom. It's Vicky's prom. You know,
right. this is her last prom. This is her last time she's going to get to do this. It's all about her.
Prom. And how she feels and how she's unhappy and how she's sad and all of these things. And it's obvious like Brianna's like, yeah, I'm excited. This is what's next. Then there's something else after this and then another thing and another mm-hmm. thing. So you know, but I can't imagine having a parent. That must be really hard.
Mm-hmm.
To have a parent that has to make everything about them.
Yeah. Vicky is really an annoying mom.
Yes.
And she was for a very long time. I hope she's calmed down by now.
I'm sure she has, but, or yeah. Maybe not. Maybe she's an annoying grandmother. Who knows?
I don't know. Cause she's in the beauty salon telling Brianna, okay, no drinking, no sex. You know, mm-hmm. Brianna's like, mom, you know, yeah. Stop. I mean, yeah. And so she's probably like that all the time.
Yes. Well, so there's that. And then the other one is that she also has a graduation. So it's Brianna mm-hmm. is graduating from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and you can see these dynamics, right? Everything falls to Vicky, and it seems like everything falls to her, and she's paying for everything
mm-hmm.
because it's very clear that she's the one paying for the tickets for definitely for her ex-husband Mike, who is
yeah.
quite. Huh? What do we say about him? I mean, he is not the go-getter.
No,
he's a go-sitter. He is not going anywhere.
He's a no-getter.
He's yeah, a no-getter. That's a good way of saying it.
Yeah, he's. I don't know how those two ever ended up together because, well, they met at a grocery store when Vicky was working in a grocery store and he was a bagger and he mm-hmm. said he hated to bag for her because she was so fast.
Yeah.
Checking people out, which you can see. And he does not move fast.
No, 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 no. He does not want to work hard. And I think, again, that's one of the things where you could see very clearly. They got married very young. Mm-hmm. They had two kids back to back, you know. Yeah. And so you can see how you get married, you don't know what to look for. And Vicky didn't know that the fact that this man was didn't want to bag for you because you were too fast was a real indication of his work ethic mm-hmm. and how he approaches things.
Mm-hmm.
So she had no idea that would be more important than it was. And so you can see that, but I'm sure she just felt tortured in this marriage because this guy, you know, was, I don't know, he's like a bump on the log. I mean,
yeah.
And I understand he don't, you know, this is her world and because he comes out for the party and you just see him like just standing alone, not even like pretending to do anything, just standing with a beer in his hand off in the
smoking
middle of nowhere,
cigarette.
Just yeah. staring at people. So.
Yeah, he's an odd one. But yeah, she paid for her whole family, I'm mm-hmm. sure, to fly out from, where is she from? Wisconsin?
Chicago.
Or Chicago. So yeah, and she's kind of the same. Really, her energy mm-hmm. is
oh yeah.
Same as it's always been. And you know, Vicky says, well, Brianna's going to school in Pomona, which is not that far away. So and Michael is in Colorado. But remember, it must be like the next season or two. She just shows up.
Yeah. Oh, the infamous. Yeah.
You know, frat house or wherever he's living. And
I feel like this was the first season. Or maybe the second
maybe
season.
Maybe
I don't know. But yeah, he's often because Michael's always trying to get away from her.
Mm-hmm.
Brianna wants to get away from her, but never seems to.
Right. Or, she indulges her more. Michael is just like, no. But the ironic part is now Michael works with her
mm-hmm.
and has been for a long time.
Yeah.
It's like her partner at the Coto Insurance. So
yes, yes.
But yeah, she and even Brianna says, you know, my mom basically lives through me and
mm-hmm.
Brianna knows she's always had her number.
Yeah. You know? Brianna's always been the voice of reason. So, yeah.
So that's about all with
yeah.
Vicky. But yeah, we see the house, her house with the pool where she was.
And the rocks and all that little
yeah, the grotto.
Thing. The grotto. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I forget, what did Don do? Did he work? Because he was not a go-getter either.
I believe he worked, but I think maybe he had his own business or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he worked, but I think maybe he had his own business. Maybe he sold it at some point, but he's, you know, she had to pay him out, you know,
yeah.
when they got, I'm sure she had to pay him at least $1 million. I mean, she had to, you know,
yeah,
because they were married for a while. I always liked Don.
But he didn't fill up her love tank.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He did not fill up her love tank at all.
Okay. Well, Vicky, what a character.
Yes. And she will be back this year, season 20.
Yeah. Thank God. She's good TV.
So can we talk about Gina? Because I've always found Gina and that family to be utterly fascinating.
Yeah, they're a lot.
Yeah. So Gina apparently is friends with Scott. Is it Dunlap or Dunlop? It's L-O-P. Is it Lop? Dunlop?
Oh, I thought Dunlap. It was Dunlap.
Anyway, she and Scott are friends. So this is kind of how she ended up on the show. But she is a former Playboy playmate, though she, I think, wasn't in the pictorial. I think she was in a different section. But she did movies and TV and kind of was an it girl, social person. And so she meets the husband, Matt Keough, who is, I didn't know this, this is this baseball dynasty family. So Matt Keough is the son of Martin Keough. Martin Keough played in the major leagues. Matt played for in the late 70s for the Oakland A's. And so now the oldest son, Shane, is, you know, so desperate to follow this. I mean, talk about like... Did Shane have a choice in this? I mean, it seems like he enjoys baseball, but I do wonder, like, did you ever pick this for yourself? Like, or was this just how it was going to be?
And he didn't have a choice. In fact, they moved in order to get him better chances to be drafted. They moved him to some other high school. They bought a house in Irvine and Matt lived there with him during the week so that he could play, you know, on this team, but he couldn't even keep his grades up. He fucked it all up. Couldn't keep his grades up. So he didn't get to play his senior year. So it impacted his drafting.
Well,
you know,
this is the part you go through all of this. You go through all of this to move there to have this opportunity. He is still a, you know, at this time, 17-year-old boy. So, but it's almost this feeling of like Matt just didn't parent except for the baseball part.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's a little bit like, you know, you didn't know that you guys, like, it was almost like, well, I'm not going to ask him about his homework or check on the homework or know what's going on or anything. But we're just going to focus on the baseball. And we see this one scene where Shane is out and he is, you know, at bat and Matt's making all these comments like, he didn't want that breaking ball. He didn't mean to take that breaking ball. He shouldn't have swung at that. Bah, bah, bah. I wouldn't have jumped up. And so finally he gets a hit, he gets out and he walks back and Matt needs to give him some Gatorade or water. And Matt basically is like, did you want that breaking ball? Bah, bah. And Shane's like, I don't know. And he's like, yeah. And just bitching and moaning. I mean, the worst pep talk ever. Basically like, you idiot. You're such a dumbass. Why did you do that? I'm like, this is some great parenting / coaching. I mean, just to see how hostile. I mean, we all know this guy did not want to be on the show. He seems so angry about things. You know, you don't know. And you are living, you too are also living vicariously through this kid, but you also seem to be, you're so angry at him and mad and yelling. You didn't catch that of like how rude he was?
No, he's totally. And as the season goes on, it comes out. I believe, didn't he have a head injury?
Yes. I guess so. Yeah. And he gets headaches?
Yeah. He had a head injury. I'm not sure if it was related to baseball or something else, but he has issues. Okay. He has cognitive issues. He's just really mean and nasty. And in fact, I think he lives like in another part of the house or, you know, no one wants to be around him.
Yeah.
He kind of lives in another part of the house and, they just try to stay away from each other because there's something.
Well, and I go back to, you know, if the roles were reversed, if Gina played professional sports and acted like this with Shane, we would be raking her over the coals. You know, I mean, everyone always talked about how Matt was very distant and rude, but I just didn't realize how, God, he's just, I just thought he was grumpy and not around. I was like, oh no, you were openly hostile to your children too. Like, I just thought you didn't interact with them, but you were a dick.
Yeah. Well, and it rubbed off. You can, like, again, this plays out in the coming seasons or whatever. Like, Shane is a total asshole.
Yeah.
He's a real jerk and he's rude to his mother, disrespectful to his mother and everybody else. I mean, yeah, that was always real intense. And there was one time where didn't Shane, like, he attacked the younger brother or
yeah,
beat him up or something, like something really
Colton.
Yeah, really inappropriate.
Because I think Colton's the sweet, sensitive one. And mm-hmm. I think Shane, yeah, he's... And the way he talks to his sister, though I do know older brothers will pick on their sisters. But just the way, you know, he's so dismissive of her and, mm-hmm. You know, all of that. No, he's a jerk as well. Mm-hmm. But this is my question, because we were talking about this with Mormon wives. Even if Matt has a head injury, at what point do you allow this man to be like this?
Right.
You know, there is some like personal responsibility of you. Okay. So figure out, Matt, how to live with this and be human. But it's just that whole thing of like that entitlement of, I was this pro baseball player. I'm part of this family dynasty. The world is against me because now I'm not playing anymore. I got injured and my time was cut short or whatever it is. And I have this head injury. And so therefore everyone should just cater to me and my own anger and whims.
Right. And, it's like, oh. And you know how long ago, like he was drafted in 1978
mm-hmm.
and he was, supposed to be, you know, like he was the next hot yeah. thing. And then the next year by 1979, oh yeah, he was 1978 MLB All-Star. And in 1979, he was the most losing pitcher with losing 14 straight games. So, wow. You know, it's just, and yeah, so long ago. And yet he acts like this is, you know.
Well, no, and that's the thing, right? So we're now talking, you haven't been playing for over 25 years. No, wait, sorry. This is 2006. Yeah, 25 yeah. years. Sorry. Yeah. yeah. So you have not been playing for 25 years. You are married with 3 children. And that's fine if you want your boys to play baseball or you want to encourage this. But yeah, 25 years is a long time to work some of these things out, Matt. To yeah. find a way to live with your head injury and not be a yeah. raging asshole to everyone.
Well, they eventually got divorced.
Yeah, but I mean, you can tell already by this point, Gina is like, they're coexisting.
Exactly.
Because the way they talk to each other and the way she's just like, oh, I just saw that. Okay, bye. You know, she has no time for him either.
Yeah. And they show her, she's a realtor. She's showing houses. She's like, oh, this is one's $10 million. And, mm-hmm. you know, you better make an offer today. It's going to go fast. You know,
well, whatever. And she's like, oh, you know, real estate's been really good for me. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, should have saved your money because everything's going to fall apart yeah. in 2 years.
Just wait a couple of years.
Yeah, because it's all going to fall apart. But it is. It's a very interesting time. I think that the Housewives came about at a very interesting time where mm-hmm. it was the beginning. There was all this excess and the housing market and all of that. And then when by the time New York starts, is mm-hmm. when things start to bottom out, you know, and you see a lot of that happening.
Yeah, because, yeah, there was financial, especially in Orange County,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of financial, and even with Slade, because Slade was in the mortgage industry.
Yeah.
So that took a hit as well. So yeah, anyone related to, oh, and remember when Lynn Curtin?
Oh God, yeah.
Got evicted and yeah, served her daughter.
Her husband, I believe, was in construction.
Mm.
So I think that was the issue. I think they had this lifestyle. And I think that, I mean, I don't know how much these people save because it very much feels like the lifestyle.
Oh, no, they're spending.
Yeah, they have to be. You have to. And they talk about this, the lifestyle.
Right. Because when you have a $10 million house that, you know, that costs a lot to maintain and pay the utilities and pay the gardeners and all the, not to mention the mortgage and the insurance.
Taxes and everything. Taxes, yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot of money out every month.
So yeah. Anything else about Gina?
Well, we've got to talk about Kara.
Oh yeah.
Or Kara. I don't know how you say her name. She turned out to be okay, but like she just comes off as a spoiled brat here.
Maybe because I know she's okay today yeah. that I didn't look at her like that, because I can see how she comes across as a spoiled brat, but there's a little bit of this. I think she personally knows this is on camera. And again, mm-hmm. we are seeing her pain, which is, I'm not as important as my brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Like basically, I'm not as important as my brothers. I'm the good girl. I work hard to make my mother happy. Please notice me. Please notice me.
Yeah.
I'm going to say these outlandish things so that someone pays attention to me. I mean, I don't know. I just had more empathy for her and why she was doing what she was doing.
Yeah. Well, and did she actually buy her that black Mercedes, or was that just like,
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm sure she got, I mean, all those, they all get like new cars for 16. Though the people that I knew that were like the Newport Beach people that I went to college with, usually they got the brand new car after college graduation. Mm. So, but I mean, that's pretty common. I had quite a few friends that got brand new BMWs and all that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Yes. Yes. Or not. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It's like, that's the other thing too. It's like, do you really want to live in Cota de Casa with these people? And it's like, that's how I've always felt about the housewives. I've never wanted to trade places with any of them.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Well, and also she does play volleyball. I mean, but no one seems to be that interested in her volleyball career.
No, no, no. Dad doesn't show up to the volleyball games.
No. Huh. Yeah. So, okay. Well, then the draft. Well, we do see the draft. Shane does get drafted in like, what round was it?
The
36th round.
36th.
By the Oakland A's. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what happened to his baseball career, but
yeah,
I don't think it lasted long.
Yes, yes. I mean, I don't think he ever even played. Again, as we've learned from Alex in the soccer, mm-hmm. That, you know, just because you're drafted doesn't mean that you're going to play.
And they might drop you after a year. I mean, I don't know what kind of contracts they have in baseball.
Yeah. No, I think Shane did the thing that a lot of people do, which is I think he tried to find a junior college, community college where he could play to see if he could try to, you know, do something with that. And it just didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about setting him up for failure. It's like you put all this time into the baseball and then you guys just kind of throw your hands up about the grades. I mean, again, maybe they were fighting with him the whole time. It just feels a little bit like, but he didn't keep his grades up. Uh-oh, you know?
Right. How does that happen?
You know, this is over a period of time. So anyway. All right. Do you want to talk about Kimberly? Because there's not much to talk about with her. She is, I think, the most down to earth, and even that's a little shaky.
Well, yeah, because you know, well, her tagline is 85% of the women here have had breast implants.
No,
including her.
Yes,
so, yeah. This was shocking. She talked about how she and her husband moved there from Baltimore, I guess, for his job.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point after they moved there, he said to her, "Have you thought about getting breast implants?" You know, just okay. And so she went from a 32A to a 32D.
Yeah. Now,
and she's a tiny little woman, tiny frame.
And also, listen, I've never been an A cup in my life, so I don't know what it's like, but I would think that's very, like, you know, very small. And so she obviously is a tiny woman with small boots. It's like, why don't you go to like a full B? Or a small C or something that would look, but she was like, no, I went as big as I could go, as big as my body could handle. And I'm like,
well,
okay.
Because she said that most women who get implants end up going back and getting bigger implants.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just going to get the big implants out of the gate. So
yes.
She doesn't have to go back and have a second surgery.
Yes.
So I don't know who, I'm sure a plastic surgeon talked her into that.
Yeah. Probably. But yeah. It's just, I hate it when people go so far. I mean, she didn't need it. She didn't. I mean, I can imagine if you have A cups, like, yeah, I could see wanting to get breast implants. I think I would do the same thing, but
I just thought it was funny that, you know, her husband, have you thought about getting breast implants?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, they're from Baltimore. So they came in and all this was so shocking, but yeah, it didn't take long. Didn't take long for you to be like, maybe you should get breast implants.
Yeah. So, you know, she likes to go to Pilates and go mountain biking and, you know, stay fit. And we see her take her daughter to get her makeup done for the middle school dance.
Mm-hmm.
And she just goes talking about the difference between, you know, what it's like in Baltimore and what it's like here. And,
well, I'm sure.
I don't know.
She seems like a good mom.
Yeah.
You know, she's not vicariously living through the daughter. And she is also saying to the person, listen, this is middle school. You know, she's getting her makeup done, but
yeah, don't go crazy.
Don't go crazy, please. I mean, you know, I don't know. She's the one, she leaves at the end of the season. I guess they go to Chicago or somewhere. I believe Chicago, because apparently she had skin cancer.
Skin cancer. Yeah.
And so there was something about skin cancer.
Like there's too much sun in California.
It's too much sun, yeah. So she's got to go somewhere there's less sun or something.
Sunscreen. Or, you know, wear one of those, you know, the long-sleeved sunblock shirts, or, you know, if you're that concerned. I don't think you need to move to Chicago.
But yeah, I think there were other reasons, but she's the one that left. But I always felt like she was the one that was like, there was no real drama with her. The husband seems like okay. And
well, who knows if she would have stayed.
Yeah, maybe. It's true.
You know, a lot of times it takes a few seasons for the drama to come out.
Maybe she secretly.
Yeah. She got out too soon. We never got to see. Yeah. Well, she's the only one who shares a scene with Joe. Mm-hmm. So maybe we could talk about that one. You want to talk about Joe?
Yeah, because I felt like of all the people and all the scenes of this show that felt the most staged, they all involved Joe and Slade.
Well, like, isn't their relationship staged? Didn't she come out and
I think they were really in a relationship.
But it wasn't much of a relationship. Like, they kind of barely knew each other. Well, he bought her that ring.
I get the sense, because she said they were together about a year and a half. I don't know. I don't know how long. I think maybe the untruth is like how much she was really full-time living down there. Do you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe she was living down there some days a week but she's up in LA most of the time with her friends. But all of their stuff felt very staged to me, where they had to set up this story, which is, you know, he's 34, she's 24. Or 36?
He's 12 years older than her. She's 24, so he's like 36.
With, you know, two kids.
Yeah.
A five-year-old. Brooke and I have lived this.
Well, and you know what's sad? Like, well, first of all, I was shocked. So when the opener, her tagline is, he's pretty much keeping me.
Yeah.
She says that a couple times in the show. Mm-hmm. And so then you see Slade with his two kids. And I'm like, first of all, I can't believe the mothers, because there's two different mothers. I can't believe they both allowed their kids to be on this show. And then one of them passed away.
Yes, Grayson.
Sick his whole life. Is that the younger one?
The five-year-old. Yeah.
Oh, that was so terrible. That's terrible. But yeah. And he's like bemoaning how, you know, he wishes that she would spend more time with him and the kids. And she's just like, I don't want to do that. I want to be out with my friends.
Well, yeah, the whole thing is just like, I mean, the whole discussion that they have is, she's like, well, I'm bored during the day. And I want to go out with my friends at night. And he's like, but this is your new life and lifestyle, and you need to be down here, and back and forth. I mean, just the scene at the restaurant, I was like, oh, you guys have scripts. You guys aren't that good of actors. Mm-hmm. Like this felt very much like, this is my position, this is your position, let's fight or let's have a conversation about it. And then that whole thing where she's like putting on outfits with the wine. I mean, she was willing. Mm-hmm. She got on her bra or underwear, like she
had a boa.
She was just willing to do whatever it took to make entertainment, I guess.
Well, and she's calling him from, you know, she's out with her friends. She's calling him at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. How did they get this on camera? I don't know. She's drunk. She's calling him at 3 a.m. I mean, their scenes are just so weird.
Yeah.
They're all very strange. And we learned, I don't remember this, Slade used to be a nude model. And they show a couple pictures of him, and they had to blur out. Because he was like fully nude.
Well, they didn't say he was a nude model. They said he was a model. But all the pictures we saw were nude.
Oh, I thought they said he, because I wrote down nude model. I was just stating the obvious, but yeah, he was nude. They had to blur out his crotch.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But Slade's still Slade. He's still sort of the same kind of opportunistic person.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's a good person. I don't think he's as evil as everyone says. I don't think he's smart enough to be an evil genius, but he is just as fame hungry and, you know, I think he just wears it more.
Yeah.
Puts it out there.
Yeah.
That's all right. Funny. Who are we missing? Because there's one more.
Lori.
Oh, Lori. Yeah.
Yeah. So Lori's working for Vicky and, you know, Vicky felt badly for her because she's a single mom, has kids, and Vicky's been there. And, we don't really understand why she was left with nothing. And so she has two kids at home, her son, Josh. And then what's the little girl's name?
Is it Sophie? Sophia?
Maybe it is Sophie. And then she has this daughter, Ashley, who's older, who is trying to make it in LA, working retail. But, you know, she can't handle it. It's hard.
No. I mean, yeah. How much? I mean, because she's paying all her bills. And I'm like, yeah, you can't live in LA and on a retail salary and maintain the lifestyle that you want.
Yeah, no, Ashley wants to come home and be taken care of. And Lori is just exasperated.
Yeah.
She's like, where are you even going to sleep? You know?
Yeah.
And Ashley's trying to, you know, kick out someone from their bedroom and take over. I mean, again, Ashley's another one who's like real entitled. Mm-hmm. And she shows up with a dog.
Oh, God, you know? The dog. And the dog, she gets like a border collie. Is that a border collie? Like, the worst dog.
It's an energetic dog. Yeah.
Oh, an energetic dog that has to have a job, that needs to be run around. Not even like a little fat little thing. Not even a chihuahua that you can just carry with you. But like a dog that is such high maintenance. And it looks young too. Like a puppy.
Yeah.
So.
Poor Lori. I just really felt for her. And, you know, like we said, she has a happy ending. But she also, unfortunately, her son Josh, he started getting in trouble, like even on this show, I remember, you know, as a juvenile.
Yeah.
And he ended up he was charged with attempted murder. He'd gone to prison and then he ended up dying in an accidental drug overdose.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, Josh had a child with this woman who also was an addict. And so I think Lori ended up raising the child. So, I mean, as much as Lori, you know, she quote unquote found her prince, I also maintain that I think it's George's way or the highway. I think she's very much like, I don't think he's awful, but I just think that like, if he wants to go to do something, that's what they do. Like, I think because he has the money and that's how it works. But I mean, Lori's life has not been, you know, a bed of roses by any means.
No, not at all. I mean, she doesn't have to worry about money, but she's got these other, she has children to worry about, grandchild. I think that's, and then there's this, scene towards the end where Joe is at the, you know, Coto de Casa, you know, this area, I don't know, where they have like a little restaurant bar type thing. And she approaches Kimberly and her friends sitting at a table. And then they have this discussion.
Yeah, again, very
life.
Set up.
Very set up. And Kimberly's trying to do her best acting, but... you can tell. And they're talking about, life in Coto de Casa, you know, how wonderful it is.
Yeah. Well, and none of them are being like, you're 24. Why are you here?
Why?
Leave, yeah. You run. Don't seem happy. Why are you in this relationship at all? You know?
Yeah.
All of those things.
This is the origin story.
Yes. It all began here.
Story. Yes.
It all began here. Psych Legal Pop. We'll be back after these messages.
This message comes from Jackson, Taxes aren't something you can only think about once a year. With investments, planning for tax days year-round. Fortunately, Jackson offers tax-efficient products. Visit Jackson.com for more information on how our products can make your tax bill a little bit less painful. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching your insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Well, I guess I misunderstood the assignment. I didn't know I was supposed to pick out housewives with mental health issues.
Oh, no.
You went and did a lot more research than I did. I was thinking about more like the people on the show and what I was seeing with the people on the show.
Well, feel free to opine on...
I feel like I have. I have opined on all of these people. It's, Ashley, the oldest daughter. See, like even her, you see where she ends up. And so it's hard to kind of be like, she's 20. She doesn't know. Like she's a 20-year-old. Mm-hmm. Like I think that's the other thing with some of these kids is that, I'm sure they all have a certain level of entitlement. I'm sure I had a certain level of entitlement at that age.
Oh yeah. I'd be scared to go back and look at footage of myself when I was 20.
Very entitled.
Even 30. I don't know. It's like, yeah. And that's something that a lot of these reality show kids who grow up and become adults have had to contend with is that they're kind of frozen in time and people think, they're a certain way and then, they have to kind of prove themselves as adults because we don't know them except for these.
Yeah. And I think that her wanting to move back in with her mom and being like, well, I don't want to sleep on the couch. I don't want to work. I don't want to do this or that. It's like, yeah, that's probably everyone's attitude at 20. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. She got a taste of adulthood and she's like, oh, this sucks. Yeah, I got to get back home. I mean, and the same thing with like Michael in the frat house with Vicky. It's like every other person would also like be like, oh my God, my mom's here. You know, I was so looking forward to this day. You can't even Shane and all of Shane's stuff. You know, I don't know what he's like today, but you know,
he's got to be better.
Yeah. I feel for all these kids.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the biggest cases.
Yeah. So, I wanted to talk about some of the most, infamous, Real Housewives legal cases. So I have kind of like a top three and maybe four. This one might deserve to be, but you know, there's been a lot, there's been several DUIs. The worst one, God, this happened recently. Karen Huger.
Yeah.
Do you know that was her fourth DUI?
Yes. And that, because I stopped watching Potomac, but apparently, yeah, this was her fourth DUI. Originally she was supposed to plea bargain and she didn't even plea bargain. Like she went to court to try to fight it.
Oh,
and
they had a trial.
Yeah. And they're all like, you're delusional. What are you doing? Yeah. You know,
because there's a video of her, completely obviously drunk, getting out of the car and, you know, being all, don't you know who I am? And, all that kind of stuff. It was obnoxious and she was obnoxious and she did, I think, a year or maybe a little bit less. She was sentenced to a year. So she's out now, but I don't think she's back in with the Real Housewives.
No, I don't. And I don't know if she'll be back anytime soon.
Yeah. And then of course, Shannon Bedore, but you know, my favorite one, just from like I just think this is hilarious, is when she didn't have a DUI, but it was alcohol related. When Luann,
oh God,
got arrested because she was so drunk that she went back to she was trying to go back to her hotel room and she went into someone else's room.
Mm-hmm.
And then when someone came in to confront her about it and she was like, you know, this is my room, get out of here.
Yeah.
They called the police and then the police are, she's resisting arrest and she's saying, don't touch me, I'll kill you. And so then there are threats against the police officer. I mean, she was just digging herself a hole. But you know, that's so Luann.
Yes.
You know, like all of the whole thing.
She wiggles out of the handcuffs.
Yeah.
And she and you know, talk about making lemonade out of lemons. She really did. I mean, a lot of that was she stopped, you know, it was the drinking and then she mm-hmm. got the cabaret act. I mean, it was sort of like part of her story.
Yeah. She had to get creative because
she did have to get creative.
Kind of at rock bottom.
And I think Luann is, she is unaware of herself in the best way. There's some of these housewives that are unaware and the worst possible way, exhausting the energy, all of that. But Luann's one of these people where it's like, yeah, she's nuts, but she's still very likable. Mm-hmm. She's nutty, but you're like, yeah, you know.
That's Luann.
Don't be so uncool, you know, be cool. You know, you're just kind of like, you gotta love this 50-year-old woman wearing a bikini and sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Just giving someone a lecture in the morning. I love it. So
yeah. And then right around the same time, she got sued by her ex-husband and her children.
Because
part of their divorce settlement was that the proceeds of the sale of a certain house, not sure which one, were supposed to go into trust for her children. And she didn't do it. She sold the house and like pocketed the money.
Mm.
But they ended up settling that. But yeah, Luann was like not doing well for a while there.
Yeah.
But she's back. Okay, so, well, this case, I have to mention, the Bethany Frankel divorce.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which was so awful. They were married for 2 years, and it took basically like 10 years to get divorced total or something.
Yeah.
8 years, 10 years. Because there was the financial part, and then there was the custody part.
Yes.
And in the financial part, you remember, like she bought that apartment in New York before she met him. It was her apartment.
Well,
right.
The apartment that you see,
not that little apartment that you see on the show, but the big
fancy one. I believe they bought together because she sold the
skinny girl
to. Seagram's or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they bought that place. So I think they bought it together, but my guess would be is I think it was all from that, but they were married at the time.
Right. And that was an issue as to whether or not that was community property.
Mm-hmm.
And because he claimed that it was community property because he helped her come up with it. Mm-hmm. But that's not even true because when they met, remember she was driving around the Hamptons in this car that had the skinny girl logo on it.
Yeah.
She had just started it and he didn't help her do anything to create it.
Well, the thing is that she created it. She did it. And I think that he was her, like they start dating and I'm sure he probably helped her. We saw him help her here or there, but I think he's seeing that he's overestimating what that, how that helped the brand because you going and doing some sales stuff wasn't at all the thing that put this over the top and got it sold.
Right.
One of the things I want to say about Bethany is that, you know, everyone always talks about what an amazing businesswoman she is. And I'm thinking about this, you know, her only idea, she's a hustler for sure. And she works hard, but she got on a show and talked about it was the right product at the right time with the right branding. Mm-hmm. And I do. And trust me, I don't know if anyone's ever tried the Skinny Girl Margarita. It's not that good.
It's not very good.
It's not very good. You're better off getting one at a... And so she did start that whole... Because now everyone wants skinny margaritas and spicy and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So she did start all that. But if you look back and go, all the other things that she did never went anywhere. She had shapewear. She had clothing. She had... you know, she had deli meats and popcorn and da da da. And have we ever seen any of that? Has any of that been successful at all?
I haven't seen it.
So that's so one of the things that always bugs me about her is like, I just feel like she was a hustler that worked hard and right thing at the right time. I don't think she's a genius because she didn't run the company. She ran it until it was big enough. And then she sold it and got a bunch of money, you know, and that's right. It.
Yeah. She was an entrepreneur who's always coming up with ideas. Cause you remember in the very first episode, she's in some grocery store.
Yeah, Bethany Bakes.
So she just kept trying things and trying things and trying things. She didn't give up. She's tenacious.
Yes.
And until something worked. And so, yeah, she sold it to Seagram's. And then I think ultimately it was decided that that was not community property. And so you trace that to the apartment. And so the apartment therefore was bought with separate property funds. But she had to go through years of litigation to prove that and to get that. And so in the meantime, they were doing this War of the Roses type thing where he refused to leave and she actually left for a while. And then her lawyer said, no, you need to go back there. You know, if you leave and you abandon this place, then that's going to be used against you. So they had to live together in this apartment. He would deliberately do things like he wouldn't flush the toilets.
Yeah.
He would leave the place just a mess with garbage and dishes and trash everywhere. He would turn the TV up to the loudest setting and then take the remote control with him so you couldn't turn the TV off. I mean, it was like psychological torture.
Yeah.
And she finally got him out of there. And then there was the whole legal custody thing. And she did get a restraining order for it. He was stalking and making threats and harassing her and all this kind of stuff. She finally did prevail, but it took so long. And she finally got full legal custody in 2020 and got primary residential custody in 2021. And now you can actually, because I don't think she was allowed to show her daughter. Now you see her daughter on videos and different stuff. And her daughter look like they're very close. And, you know, the daughter seems to be having fun.
Yeah.
Doing whatever they do together. But yeah, who knew that that guy would just turn out to be just a psycho?
Yeah, because he seemed like this very kind of average, I mean, he was cute, average
like a
guy.
Midwestern, you know, down to earth guy.
That worked in like finance or whatever. But his parents were from, I think he was from Pennsylvania, you know, I think small town in Pennsylvania or something. I think. And so, and apparently the parents were part of this too. I mean, it just feels, it's like diabolical.
It is.
But it also makes you wonder when you think about someone like Bethany and Bethany's life and you know how chaotic it has been. She's had a very chaotic childhood. And then, you know, here she is and she thought she finally had stability. And then, but you've accidentally married the most chaotic person ever. It's like, I really do wonder. Right. Like how much of this were there things with this guy that you saw that you ignored or that felt very comfortable to you, like that we didn't maybe see that felt very comfortable to you that you just then replayed this pattern over and over again?
Yeah. So thank God that's all over.
Yeah. But I don't get what she's, I don't know. I used to love her. And now I'm just like, she must have friends at Page Six because Page Six reports on everything that she talks about. But every time something happens, she has an opinion. Like, you know what I mean? It's like Taylor, Frankie, Paul. Okay. She's got to come out and have an opinion. And it's just, sometimes you're like, you ever thought about taking a step back?
Well, I think that the reason why she's talking about Taylor, Frankie, Paul is because this is sort of adjacent to that whole reality reckoning.
Oh yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's where she's coming from with that. I mean, yeah, Bethany can be annoying, but she's also smart and she does have, I think, her finger on the pulse of a lot of different things. You know, she has a lot of experience with, you know, she's been around a long time. She's seen a lot. I don't know.
Yeah. I just, I, And again, you know, if you look at an actor, how many of their movies are successful or big hits, mm-hmm. you know, how many movies do they win Oscars for, all of those things. So I'm not saying anything, but it just feels like lately it's like, I'm going to start this podcast. No, it's gone. I'm going to start with this podcast. No, it's gone. Now I'm going to do mm-hmm. this. Now I'm going to do this. And then, I'm going to talk about styles and brands and things that you can get on. And now I'm talking about this. And it's just, it still feels very frenetic.
Yeah, no, she'll always be. I think she'll always be like that. Okay, so here's my top three in no particular order. So the Erica Jane, Tom Girardi.
Mm, yeah.
Because of the scope of this.
Yeah.
It's a huge scope. So Erica Jane's husband, Tom Girardi, he was a well-known trial lawyer. And would get these big cases. Actually, I don't know how many trials he actually even did. It was just that he had built up this reputation or something for being, people were afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he also had real connections with all of the judges in Southern California, Los Angeles area.
He was sleeping with one.
Yeah, yeah. exactly. So he was very powerful. He knew everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew him. So people were afraid to go up against him. And so that's how he would get these huge settlements. And he worked on big cases, like massive tort cases. And, you know, like the Aaron Brockovich, where they mm-hmm. basically sued PG&E or whoever the polluter was. And so he would get these cases where there'd be multi-million dollar settlements, and then he wouldn't pay the litigants.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of his tactics was he would tell them, I'm going to hold this money for you because I don't want you to, you know, waste it and spend mm-hmm. it. And I'm going to invest it for you and I'll keep it safe and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So he was basically doing that, you know, it's a Bernie Madoff,
yep.
you know, Ponzi scheme thing where he's pocketing this money
mm-hmm.
and he'll pay people here and there to mm-hmm. keep them happy, that they pipe up, keep them quiet, give them some money. And just kept that going, kept it going. And then what really ruined everything was COVID, because things weren't going to trial. And you have to keep getting cases settled, because you don't settle a case until you're, you know, usually right at the heels of those kind of cases,
mm-hmm.
those big cases. They're settled right before trial. You know, it's this big dramatic thing. And so cases weren't being set for trial, weren't going to trial. So settlements weren't coming in and mm-hmm. the flow of money stopped. And here's what is crazy about this is obviously for years and years, there were people who were owed money by his law firm who were complaining to the state bar.
Mm-hmm.
The state bar had received hundreds of complaints, probably more than that. Mm-hmm. And they only investigate a handful of cases that they get complaints on. So they investigated a couple hundred of the complaints against him and mm-hmm. decided nothing mm-hmm. was wrong. No, nothing wrong here. You know why? Because he was paying off people at the state bar. He was paying off, bribing these investigators. So this all came like crashing down. And it all started coming out and it was really, really bad. And here's Erica Jane in the middle of all this. And I believe that she did not know any of this. She got implicated because he was laundering some of this money through an LLC that mm-hmm. was created for her business. her singing business, such as it was. And I don't believe she knew any of this. She didn't care. All she cared about was she was getting money.
Mm-hmm.
She was getting stuff. Whatever she wanted, she was getting.
Yeah.
She came into that marriage later after he was already established. He never let her in on any of the financial part of it.
Yeah. I mean, my guess would be is I think she obviously knew he cheated. And she wasn't going to do anything about that. And I think that she knew he was an angry guy, a scary guy. I think she knew that he maybe colored outside the lines. I'm with you. I can see her maybe knowing that this guy is doing some shady stuff. But I don't think she had any idea the extent of how shady it was.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, this is an angry guy who's kind of, you've got to see him bending the rules. So you've got to believe that he's doing it in other places. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she just didn't, I mean, now she's totally rehabbed her image. I mean, she's so like, she's one of the best parts of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills now, but, you know, we really saw her go through it.
Yeah. Well, everything came crashing down. She was basically broke. And she had to figure it out. And I didn't think it was right for the women to get mad at her because she wasn't reacting appropriately. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, well, what about the victims? And it's like, look, she didn't do anything wrong. She doesn't owe the victims anything. You know, what is she supposed to do? I mean, yeah, she didn't. She could have handled that better, especially if you're going to be on TV, because she was really kind of incredulous. And it was all about poor me, poor me, what's going to happen to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think also her reasoning about not saying anything, because she doesn't want to say, oh, I'm so sorry for the victims, because that's a, what is that, an admission of guilt?
Like, she's admitting something.
Yeah. Yeah. So I understand her not wanting to say that, but I think she could have just said, hey, I really can't comment on this. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot comment on this. But instead, she just got mad. She got mad that Sutton read the article in the New York Times and the LA Times.
The LA Times.
The only one that finished the article, mind you. No, the other women didn't even bother to read the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I can see how she would be like, because Sutton was saying things like, well, I don't know, you know, about being associated with Erica. And I'm sure that hurt. But again, Erica can't, that's not her MO to be like, that hurt my feelings. I can't comment on this. I can give you my side, but it can't be for a while. You just need to trust me. I'm just asking you all to trust me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that would have helped.
And she had her diamond earrings taken away.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because they were literally auctioning off, you know, for the victims, everything. I mean, I think didn't Ryan Bailey buy like some lingerie?
That
he had given to Erica.
Oh,
I mean, I think he also bought, it was a photograph of Tom and his father and brother, something that was in his office. I mean, they were auctioning off every item of anything they could get their hands on that these people owned, including their house. I don't even know if they were having trouble selling the house. I don't know if it even
sold. They kept having to reduce the price over and over again in order to sell the house. And you know what, they're lucky that Erica was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I mean, I think the auction, they probably got a lot more money for the auction because there were all some, you know, who else is going to buy that picture of the lingerie but some weirdo, you know, Real Housewives fan who's got a podcast, you know what I mean? I think that helped them.
Yeah, probably did.
And I also think the other thing too was when the marriage ended, it was like, it wasn't like she didn't go to a sad 2,000 square foot apartment.
No.
Like Lori. I mean, she, you know, the place that she went to was like,
it was in Hancock Park. It was a 3-bedroom house.
With a pool in the back. It's a little bit like, it's real hard. I mean, I get it. In your world, this is a huge downgrade, but bigger picture here.
Yeah.
You're not in squalor.
Yeah, it was rough. It was a rough transition.
It was. And then she just, it sounds like she was maybe taking, I think she was also maybe taking like either maybe some SSRIs or maybe Xanax or Valium or something like that for her nerves and drinking. And I think that's the other thing that we saw was just her. And
she was out of it.
Yeah.
So Tom got 7 years in prison.
He's there now.
He's there now. I don't know how long he's going to live.
I'm amazed he's still alive.
I'm amazed he's still alive too. Oh, and he tried to act as though he was demented in order to get out, so he wasn't competent. That didn't work, obviously, because he was convicted and he's in prison. But anyway, that was interesting. Okay, so the next one is Jen Shaw. And you know, I don't know a lot about her case. I know that she had this telemarketing scam where she was basically ripping off elderly people. And
yeah, I know a little bit just based on the times that I've listened to Heather McDonald describe it. But basically, she and her team would present themselves as like, hey, you want to start a small business. Like they get these targeted leads. Like these are all people that want to start small businesses. And so she would sell them like services of, you know, putting together a website or doing marketing materials. And I will tell you that digital marketing is one of those things where you absolutely can charge a lot of money and people have no idea what you're doing on the other end. Like that is something that happens a lot because if you don't understand how it all works, it's very easy to take advantage of people. So then they would invest, they would take all their money, invest in this website, and the website wouldn't turn out or it wouldn't be crappy or they wouldn't get it. So then they would get a second, then they would fall into this other pile or category where they would come back around again and say, hey, you know, we can help you with this website or collect that money, but give us money. Like they kind of kept targeting and targeting. They didn't know it was sort of the same group, but they kind of kept targeting people over and over again. Like I can fix, you know, you have this dream. I can help you with your dream. Oh, your dream's not working. I can help you fix that dream. Like, oh no, I can help you fix this part of it. And then you can, you know, it's clever. It's diabolical.
Yeah.
But they were ripping off people. I mean, she's as bad as I mean, widows and orphans and these elderly people and their life savings. I mean, both of these people are going to a special hell.
Yeah. And I don't know how many millions of dollars she managed to rip off from these people. But apparently, like when she went to prison, you know, she didn't even own that house that they filmed in.
It was all smoke and mirrors.
It was all smoke and mirrors. She had nothing. So she had nothing to show for all this money that she ripped off. I don't know what she did with it. Just lived large, I guess. But you know, I think she was originally sentenced to 8 years. She ended up only doing 3 years because, you know, in federal prison, if you do all these programs, you can get time taken off. And if you're good behavior, you get time taken off. So she did, I think, just under 3 years, actually. And so she's already out.
Yeah.
And I don't know what she's going to do, but I don't really see a way forward for her.
She's going to start a podcast.
Well, I mean,
that is one thing she could do.
She could do. But what would she talk about?
Prison. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think people would tune in. But yeah, I mean, it's a good, they're not going to have her back on Salt Lake. They can't.
No.
And so maybe you could get on some other reality show, but probably not. And so, yeah, it's a, and so are you just going to go back to scamming or because these people do not want to get jobs, actual jobs.
Well, so, her husband had an actual job. He was a football coach.
But
for
please,
college,
how much does,
right?
Well, and how much does that really?
College football coaches make a lot of money.
But enough to support that lifestyle?
No, but they make enough to live a good life.
Yeah.
You know, you make a couple million a year if you're.
Oh, they make
coach.
A couple million?
Yes.
Oh,
that's at a mediocre school. I mean,
really? I didn't think they were paid
schools,
that well. Wow.
No.
Okay. Sorry. And I'm backtracking now. Sorry.
Yeah. If your team gets into like a bowl game or something, you get a bonus.
Oh.
They make the head coaches for big football teams make good money.
Was he the head coach? I didn't get the sense that coach was really successful, but maybe he is. Maybe he's more successful than I thought.
Yeah, again, he makes enough to support a family, have a regular life and support a family.
More than a regular life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I've seen videos of Jen just yelling and screaming at like designers and assistants. And that's where I find that to be disgusting. You know, you have zero reason to be yelling at someone that's working for you.
Yeah.
Period.
No, she's a bitch and
she's awful.
Hopefully she's been humbled somewhat.
But again, the people who yell like that, it's like it's because they're not good at what they do. They don't have anything to fall back on. If you're good at what you do and you feel confident about yourself and you, all that kind of stuff, you don't need to yell at people.
Yeah.
You really don't.
Okay. Well, the biggest legal drama that I think really shook an entire family is the Judices. Mm.
I was wondering if it was going to be that. And I was like racking my brain. Is there another one? But you know what it was with the Judices? This was the first time someone who was very prominent, like big, you know, the star of the show had done something that where you would land in prison. Like this was the first one. It wasn't a DUI. It wasn't like, you know, drunk and disorderly. This was, and yeah, keep going. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it was. This was the big case, and everyone wondered, well, you know, can Teresa survive this? You know, what's going to happen? And this really greatly affected their family because they had four small, relatively, you know, I mean, I think what was Gia, like 13 or maybe not even 13, like 11, 12?
No, I think Gia was more like 14, 15, but the youngest, Adriana, I want to say was like 6 or 7 or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, basically the 15, 16 year old was running the show.
Yeah.
Poor Gia. I mean, Gia, we've talked about this when we're talking about special forces, like so much has been put on her.
Yeah. Yeah. We can talk more about that. But basically what happened was, okay, well, and before I get into it, I think that, and this was also the first time when we realized that these Real Housewives need to be careful about what they put on these shows because people are watching and it's going to get people interested. And in one of the very first episodes when they came on, you know, Teresa is buying furniture for their home, their new home they just built, which is pretty extravagant. And she's paying this guy in cash.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, she had like over $100,000 in cash. She's showing off all this cash. Well, hello, red flag, you know.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. And, you know, Joe is in construction.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're not being very careful about showing this stuff off. And so eventually someone starts doing some digging, I think. And it turns out that, you know, he is now, Teresa blames it on him, says she did not know what she was signing, but she did sign it. But she signed as, you know, husband and wife sign these applications to get mortgages, tax returns that were fraudulent, fraud in the mortgage documents that were fraudulent that overstated what their income was so that they could get mortgages and loans. And so ultimately what ended up happening was they both pled guilty to conspiracy to commit mail and wire fraud and also bankruptcy fraud and, like I said, tax fraud, mortgage fraud, just a lot of fraud. And so Teresa was sentenced to 15 months and Joe was sentenced to 41 months. And they made it so that Teresa would do her time first, so he could stay and take care of the kids, and then he would go and do his time. And so she ended up serving 11 months. He ended up serving just around 3 years. And then also, turns out Joe was not a citizen. He was brought here as a baby from Italy, but parents never went through any kind of process to have him naturalized. He was not a U.S. citizen. He was here illegally, basically. And so they deported him.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has not been back to the U.S. He lived in Italy for a while. And then I think now he lives in the Bahamas and he does like MMA fighting or boxing or something. And he's making money doing that. But so that's what happened. The girls lost... They lost their mother for a year. They were without her for a year. And then they lost their father. They lost him completely. Luckily, they are able to go travel and see him now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're older and they can go on their own. But I remember that first there was a episode, I don't know if you remember this, when he got out of, he was deported, got out of prison, was deported, and then he was living in Italy. And they all went to go visit him. Mm-hmm. And he's living in this kind of little, I don't know if it's his family's like Italian villa. He's in like this little room in the back.
Yeah.
And he actually thought that he and Teresa were going to get back together. Like they were going to rekindle.
Yeah. Did he?
They would be back. He did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she was just like, no.
Yeah. No, she was done.
And one of the things that is, you know, collateral damage from that, and she was very angry at him about, is that the year that she was in prison was like the last year of her mother's life. Her mother mm-hmm. died like shortly after mm-hmm. she got out. And so she lost all this time with her mother, which was unforgivable. And, you know, look, she claimed that she, you know, she's like, he was my husband and he told me to sign these things. And so I signed them. And that was kind of her defense, but mm-hmm. it's not a defense.
Yeah.
You're a grown woman and you can read and you sign these things voluntarily. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you trusted Joe that's your own mistake, you know?
Yeah.
Shouldn't well, have done that.
Yeah. I mean, if she was raised very traditionally, right? Mm-hmm. If you listen to the man, you know, there is, yeah, it comes back to at what point do people have responsibility for themselves? And you can't keep, even if your parents said, just always believe your husband, you can't keep blaming them. Like, right. you know, but the other thing too, yeah. is they could have prevented this, right? It was part of it was they weren't being honest. Like when the bankruptcy was happening and all of that, they were like, just tell us exactly what you have. And I guess they kept lying about it over yeah. and over again. Which I think it was the fact that like, you can't keep using that. Like they came to you and said to you, this is what you need to do. So now, you know, this is illegal mm-hmm. and you're continuing to choose to go with this guy. So
yeah, they could have, if they would have just at the beginning, just kind of thrown themselves on the mercy of the court. And I think a lot of it was, yeah, that they didn't have a lot of remorse or, you know, wouldn't tell the truth for a long time. Mm-hmm. And they could have gotten a better deal if they had. And yeah, and this was very hard on the girls, but especially Gia.
Because, oh, yeah.
Like you said, like Gia had to become the parent. And, you know, she talked about this on Special Forces and it was transferring to her mother to the point where and then when her dad went away, she mm-hmm. did, she became like the dad figure. Mm-hmm. And then she was the person who Teresa would go to and vent to and
yeah.
want to help. There was developed this codependency. So she really got it.
Yeah. Know, well, because we saw this, like Teresa checks in when we saw that. We saw like that year that Teresa's gone, Joe is drinking heavily. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's trying to cope and he's drinking heavily. And yeah, poor G is going to high school and then also dealing with the kids. And then she has that. And then you even think about them all going to Italy. You know, she's the oldest. You know, like mm-hmm. she's the one that is arranging everything. Mm-hmm. You know, she's because she's the oldest one of the four. So I just, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. It was just very sad because it really destroyed a family. And then, you know, Teresa's brother, Joe, who, mm-hmm. you know, they've always had problems. And I think Joe was pissed off at the other Joe, which mm-hmm. you know, understandably, like that he did that to his sister and his nieces and put them in that position. Yeah. He put all of them in this position.
Yeah.
And, you know, Teresa is responsible for what she did. But like you said, she was very traditional and that was just always their dynamic and whatnot. But everyone was like, oh, is she going to come back from this? And yeah.
Oh, yeah. She came back.
She came back and, you know, even stronger. You know, she's still on the show. She's still queen of that show.
But is she stronger? I feel like she just married another Joe.
See, I don't know. I mean, everyone hates that guy. I don't really know. I haven't watched it in so long.
Yeah, I haven't watched him. I've watched or seen enough to be like, okay, like again, there's just it's I'm concerned because there are just too many stories that are coming out. You know, I don't know. I've never owned I mean, back taxes. Like, there's always these things that happen where they comes out and like, oh, this person owes a lot of money in back taxes. Oh, this person had this company and they're saying that they didn't, you know, the way it was, you know, how it ended. I wonder about this guy, Louis, and if he is, if he's on the up and up. I don't know. I'm nervous that she's done the exact same thing. Though I've always had a hard time with Teresa. I've never been a huge fan. I think, you know, I don't necessarily think she's a bad person, but I think that she is a hard person to be friends with because she does not, she's not a reflective person.
Yeah.
She does not reflect upon, she has very low awareness of anything. I don't think she takes a lot of accountability for a lot. You know, I think, you know, things are happening to her, not for her. So
yeah,
that's what I always had problems with. Yeah. Like there was just zero like willingness to look at herself. So,
yeah. Yeah. Teresa's, you know, Teresa's Teresa.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah. But I wonder why Joe hasn't been able to get back into this country. Like you would think that there would be, I don't know, can't one of his daughters sponsor him or something?
Maybe he doesn't want to come back. Maybe he's like, I'm happy here in the Bahamas. My kids are all adults, right? Mm-hmm. I assume the youngest is off and if not college.
I think the youngest might be just about ready to go to college or...
Yeah.
Can't remember.
So maybe he's just like, okay, I'm enjoying my life here in the Bahamas and I'm just, this is what I'm going to do now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just so funny when you think about life and you think about, right, the beginning of that first episode or first couple of episodes of New Jersey of just like, did you ever think, oh, they're going to be divorced and he's living in the Bahamas right now because he can't get back to the U.S. Yeah, like you just don't. It's life just takes you into some funny places. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing about, yeah. And look at, you know, the Housewives of New York and who they're all divorced, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing. It's funny because even the term Real Housewives, some of these shows don't have a single married person on them. You know, they're not housewives. But that's the brand name.
And, yes.
But yeah, it's basically just women and living their lives. But you wonder how much, if they hadn't been on this show, you know, what would their life look like?
Yeah.
How much different would it be? Probably a lot.
It seems like these reality shows, it's a double-edged sword. It just seems like it's a double, you know, like you are selling your soul in a way. And for some of these older people, you can, I mean, I feel for the young people because, you know, even a 25-year-old doesn't know how they're selling their soul. These kids, the kids on Orange County don't know how they're coming across, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well,
all right.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Real Housewives.
And isn't there a new Orange County season?
Yeah,
soon,
it's soon. It is soon. So we're thinking about covering it. We've gotten some suggestions from some people. Someone suggested Ladies of London this latest season. Someone else suggested these e docu series. So
So what you're talking about.
But I don't know. Watching this Orange County kind of got me excited again for Orange County. Like maybe we should do this. I don't know. I think it's just the week by week by week, every week of, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's the only way I'm going to watch the whole season is if we cover it and I'm forced to watch it.
If you have homework.
Because otherwise, yeah, I watch an episode or two and then I forget about it. I forget it's on, you know, it's like. I have to have accountability.
Yes, yes. Well, doesn't your show, don't they save shows that you watch? Like Hulu will, if I'm watching a show, it's like, oh, Tess is watching this show. So I will save, okay, this is the next. So I always know there's a new episode because it's in my queue. You don't have queues?
I do, but I don't really watch stuff outside of stuff for the podcast.
Mm.
I really don't. I'm it's kind of weird, but I don't enjoy watching TV anymore. I don't know.
No, well, it's good. I'd get a lot more done if I didn't enjoy watching television. All right. All right. Let's wrap it up.
Okay. So, we did want to let you know that we have a new podcast to recommend. Mm-hmm. And it's called Reality Behind Bars. And the hosts are Dr. Ashley Scalaro and Carolyn Fisher. And they are two women who we have had on our podcast. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Scalaro, she's been on several of our podcasts and some Patreon, but we just did a Patreon with her about the Corey Richens trial. And we've talked about Karen Reed and mm-hmm. what's the other big one we talked about?
Diddy. Her. Sean Combs.
Oh, yeah. Sean Combs. So this podcast is about, they're talking about TV shows and documentaries related to being incarcerated and the prison system. And that's a area of study that Ashley does. She's a
cognitive neuropsychologist, neurolinguistic. No.
She studies a lot of trials. That's what we know. We have to dumb this down to something we can understand.
Yeah. But I mean, I think she's rooted in psychology. It's like this, mm-hmm. but it's like this connection between psychology and the law and incarceration,
Yeah. Yeah. No, it sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
And so we recommend you check out that podcast if you're interested in that intersection of psychology and the law, kind of like we do. But they have much more pointed expertise in that specific area of incarceration. So anyway, you can also check out our Patreon if you're interested in more stuff like that. We have true crime episodes that focus on those topics. And to support the podcast, you can subscribe to the podcast. You can give us a 5-star rating and review, which really helps people find the podcast and spread the word. And we're on all the social media platforms. You can find us at Psych Legal Pop. And thank you for tuning in.
Yes.
Yes. And see you soon.
Bye. Bye.
This message comes from Jackson. Taxes aren't something you can only think about once a year. With investments, planning for tax days year-round. Fortunately, Jackson offers tax-efficient products. Visit jackson.com for more information on how our products can make your tax bill a little bit less painful. Jackson is short for Jackson Financial Incorporated, Jackson National Life Insurance Company, Lansing, Michigan, and Jackson National Life Insurance Company of New York, Purchase, New York.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, it's Christy.
And I'm Kelly.
You might remember us as the OG Partners in Crime from Dance Moms.
Well, this is Back to the Bar, the podcast where we drag out every insane, chaotic, and iconic moment from the show.
We're spilling the tea, calling out all the BS, and sharing stuff you definitely didn't see on TV.
New episodes drop every week, and yes, we're laughing through the trauma.
For once. Follow, grab a drink, and join us as we go back to the bar.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.